Hello, everybody. This is Amanda Dennis. Natalia, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you.
All right.
Are you? Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Welcome, everybody. Before we get started, we just have a few announcements. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have launched the Guided Rose Cleanse again. And we launched it as a 60-day experience because we have the pre-cleanse preparation period, and then the 30-day cleanse, and then a post-cleanse integration period. So by signing up for the Guided Rose Cleanse, you get 60 days of access to the virtual living room, and then you get the recorded audios from the January cleanse, both the live Q&A sessions, and then also what we're calling the applied lifestyle discussions, which for those of you that participated last time know that included guided meditation, discussion questions, inspirational stories, and lots of very supportive material on the mental-emotional side of cleansing. And then we have access to over 150 recipes, and then also the virtual living room, which, as any of you who participated know, that was a very supportive and inspiring place to visit as people were participating in the cleanse. So that is launched again, and I've seen some of you as a part of that already. And just so you know, we are monitoring that living room and will be available to answer questions in there. So thanks to everyone who's joined again, and welcome to those of you who are considering it. It's a great experience, and if you check out the testimonials from the last cleanse, you'll see that it is quite transformative, both from a physical perspective and then also from a mental and emotional perspective as well. We also just launched our first Life Force Family free live Q&A call, and that took place last week, and we're going to have the recorded version of that available very soon here. We're working on that. But just so you know, any of you who are considering becoming parents, are parents, have children in your life that you care about, the first call was really great. Natalia went through her birth story, and so we talked a lot about matters around pregnancy and birthing, and it was just it reminded me of the unending amount of material there is to talk about when applying this type of lifestyle to parenting and children. So those calls will be once a month, and they are the second Tuesday of every month. And there's a banner on Life Force Families and actually on Detox the World for you to get the date for the next call. Joanna, who is on the phone with us today, would like to talk a little bit about our summer detox program that we're launching in July. Joanna, do you want to go ahead and take a sec to talk about that?
Sure. Thanks, Amanda. Hi, everyone. Very, very excited for what's right around the corner. I'm sure you've seen the ad on our website. It's a very small group guided month, and I'm really just so inspired so far by the group that's already signed up. And I also want to make special note that if this looks like something you're interested in and cost is an inhibiting factor, then I'm really excited to offer a few scholarships. And all you need to do is just email me at joanna@detoxtheworld.com explaining, you know, why you want to join and what you hope to gain from it. And I'm looking forward to choosing some people to join us in that way. But to the rest of you, I got a couple of questions. So I just wanted to clarify anything about this. It is a very supportive month. So it's both in person and calls every week for the month of July. And there's no set regimen here. So whether you're juicing until lunch or juicing until dinner, or you're dabbling with this lifestyle, or you've been doing it for years, I mean, everyone is welcome. And if you join, you'll see from the group that there's a wide variety of people who are just really excited to be in this supportive environment for the month. So still some spaces left, not many, because I'm keeping it really small, but I encourage you to check it out and email me if you have any questions. Lots of offerings at Detox the World, as you can hear about now, because I also wanted to remind you guys that Doris's next culinary training is coming up July 13th, 14th, and 15th, and there are still spaces for that as well. So for those of you who are wanting to do this and haven't gotten the chance, then we would love to see you in July.
Yeah, thank you, Joanna. I'm really excited that you're hosting this as well. It's going to be a fabulous opportunity for anybody who is just needing a little bit of extra guidance or who needs a lot, who needs a helping hand through the early stages of detox. You know, it is so hot in New York right now. I think it's almost reached 100 degrees today, and the humidity factor is through the roof as well. And it's one of those times when you really appreciate being clean-celled, because you can actually walk through that dense, hot air and be fine, while everyone else is desperate for air conditioning and a cold drink and an ice cream or whatever it is they need. And it's one of, you know, one of those things that we talk often about, the barometer, how you know you've progressed. Well, those of you who, you know, who do this, who need this work and do it, whether it's with Joanna or on your own this summer, or those of you who are, you know, advanced and you really are vigilant about it, you will be so much more comfortable this summer, because really, it's one of those tests. The body can sustain itself fairly well through these really hot days if it's clear and open. If it's not, there's a lot of suffering to be done. So I just, you know, as I think about those of you, those students in, who you're going to have, Joanna, working with you in July, they're just going to benefit so much through with this weather where people are so uncomfortable. It doesn't have to be the case. I work with so many people who just think, who say to me, like, you know, last year this time they were suffering. They were those people who were just saying, you know, it's too hot. They couldn't stop complaining about the heat. And now they're like, okay, you know what? It's hot, but it's okay. it's just a change of temperature. It's not going to, you know, and it, you know, sometimes we forget, because we get so used to being able to deal with inclemencies, especially around heat, that we forget that, you know, it's such a problem for people, and it really doesn't have to be. So,
Natalia, anyway. This is Amanda. I just remember when I used to really despise summer. I didn't like the heat, and I didn't like the sun. And then it was probably after a year or so of living this lifestyle, it just dawned on me one day. It was like, oh, whoa, I can be out in the sun and not get sunburned, and this is incredible. Because before, it was all about a big, huge hat and sunscreen, and it just was this hassle to be in the sun because I had to protect myself so much. And then also the heat. It was just like, whoa, this doesn't bother me. This is really cool. So definitely have experienced exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So here's to a very, very cool summer in so many ways.
Awesome. Do any of you have any questions about the events that are coming up? If you do, go ahead and press 1, and we can address any questions that you have about the Guided Rose Cleanse, the live Q&A calls that are going on, the Summer Detox, or the Culinary Institute. If anyone has any questions, go ahead and press 1. Okay, good. And then I just wanted to see if we can take a quick poll. How many of you right now are doing, if you're doing the Rose Cleanse right now, go ahead and press 1. And if you're planning on doing the Rose Cleanse soon, go ahead and press 2. And you press it on your phone keypad. 1 or 2. If you're doing the Rose Cleanse, press 1. If you're going to be doing it soon, go ahead and press 2. Okay, cool. So we do have about almost 25% of you who are going to be doing the Rose Cleanse sometime soon, so probably preparing your bodies right now. Awesome. And then, Patrice, did you have a question? I saw your hand up. Not sure if you had a question or if you were responding to the poll.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. No, I just had a question because I don't know who was speaking before, whether it was I'm not sure, but they were saying how great it is to be doing living this lifestyle and not having to be in the sun and not have to worry about being sunburned.
Oh, that was me. Well, I was just saying that I used to have to be very, very concerned.
Elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah.
I do remember reading, or you speaking, because I did your January Rose Cleanse. I do remember you speaking or something about having, when your body is so pure like that, you don't have to worry about getting sunburned. I'm very fair. I'm blonde, blue-eyed, and fair.
Yeah.
And I always have to worry about the sun. So,
I'll let Natalia talk more about it, but I just know from my own experience that I am too pretty, very fair, and that I used to be out in the sun and burned within, like, I mean, literally sometimes it was like 15, 20 minutes. And now I live in Hawaii and never, ever have to wear sunscreen, which is pretty incredible. And I don't get burned anymore. And Natalia can explain why that is, but Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I wish I knew more about the biochemistry of it exactly. I experienced the same thing when I would go into, especially, you know, I travel, I often mention I go to South Africa every year, and the South African sun is extremely powerful. It's, you know, like the Hawaiian sun. It's just, it's not what I get up here in the Northeast in America. And I used to, like, burn like a little pink pig every time I go to South Africa before I was doing this. And now, same deal. Like for, you know, for so many years now, I go and I slather on, if anything at all, I'll put coconut oil all over my body. And it's funny because in the latest class, some of the students mentioned that they actually use coconut oil as well, and that they found it to be preventative in the sun, like a, you know, like a sunscreen, which I didn't know of, but. You know, they'd been using it, assuming that it was working in that way for them, and I thought that was kind of awesome because I was thinking I was being a bit of a rebel, putting coconut oil all over my body and then going in the sun. So you know, that was like, you know, one feather out of my cap, I guess. But at any rate, it is a toxic reaction to become burnt in the sun if you're not spending excessive amounts of time. However, we're not supposed to be exposing ourselves to the sun excessively to begin with. So, you know, if you're going to break the natural boundaries and go out in the you know, 12 to 2:30, 3 o'clock sun in an area close to the equator, then you're setting yourself up for a negative reaction because the sun is so intense, it's so cleansing, it's powerfully cleansing. In fact, one of my theories is that the skin cancer that we see is actually if it's due to overexposure to the sun rather than, I think, SPFs, it's actually been, there's been research done to prove that SPF is actually causing these sunscreens, and their ingredients, their carcinogenic ingredients are actually causing skin cancer, especially as it interfaces with the sun. There's a reaction. However, I also believe that skin cancer can be the sun pulling impurities from deep in the body to the surface. So where, you know, one person maybe, their toxicity might be deep in the liver. If they're spending prolonged periods in the sun can pull it all forward because the sun is a giant magnet. It's just like, think of the electrons on the belt of the atom. They're the powerful alkalinizing force. It's the most radiant power of all that, you know, the works that we know of. So it's able to really magnetize any impurities out of the body. It's so powerful. But at the same time, if it's used in, it can be used as a sympathetic or a tool in the cleansing lifestyle when you treated it like a tool to go out for, you know, naked sunbathing for, you know, an hour, a half hour in the morning, a half hour in the late afternoon, using the open air and the sunlight to help the body, the blood be cleaned and receive all the goodness that the radiation from the sun has to offer us. And it's, you know, there's so little spoken about in terms of the good radiation and so much about the fear, that we hear. So I'm not afraid of the sun. I do think that the way we live, it complicates our relationship with the sun. The changes in our environment complicate the relationship with the sun. But there's a very deep friendship that can be had with the sun, and that's what we need to explore more of. And there's a term called heliotherapy, which is, you know, means the helio, meaning the sun, and the therapy, the healing power of the sun. It's been used to cure so many illnesses, especially used in the turn of the century, or at the turn of the century, to help. These wonderful documented cases on the healing of the sun in tuberculosis of the bones, and children who were healed. The worst victims of bone tuberculosis. I didn't even realize there was such a thing as bone tuberculosis until I knew about it, until I learned about this. And radical healing that took place. And in fact, I spoke with someone today who lives in Scotland, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, she, because of the cold winters, there's so little exposure to the sun. But in fact, the doctor who was doing this, I'll remember his name in a minute. I'll put it up on the community somewhere. Was deliberately using cold air because he discovered that the the heliotherapy was most productive or effective, I should say, when the temperature was low. So this was done in the Swiss Alps. Out in the open air, they would have beds and on balconies that they would line up and put the children on there, and they would, the healing was remarkable within a year. These absolutely deformed children from the bone tuberculosis were totally healed. It was absolutely marvelous. So there's so much power in healing in the sun. If you used to have a bad relationship with the sun, wait until you've cleansed a significant amount and then try it again.
Yeah, Natalia, there's also the very beautiful symbiotic relationship between us and plants, because the plants have antioxidants that protect them from the mm-hmm. free radicals of the sun. We don't create those antioxidants ourselves. So the only way that we can also get those antioxidants is by eating the plants. So we have this, you know, beautiful relationship with them where they're actually providing the same sort of protection that they provide themselves, they provide for us when we consume them. The antioxidants work the same way within us for protecting mm-hmm. us from the sun as well. So
that's a really interesting point. And maybe we are producing something of that kind when our body's clear enough to be able to produce that. And mm-hmm. maybe that's helping to prevent our, or to give us the opportunity, to, you know, as you and I are now, able to go in the sun without burning
yeah.
in the same way. So there's
yeah.
it's definitely something to explore further, but it's a fact that it happens to everybody, that I know.
Yeah, totally. Well, and even my 9-month-old daughter, who is as fair as you could be, I mean, her hair is like almost white and her eyes are blue and she's so pale, but I was so surprised when we were out in the sun at the beach for hours, where I was watching her very closely to make sure, but she never burnt. And I mean, we were in the sun for a lot of hours, again, in Hawaii, and she's not burning. So it's pretty incredible, actually. So
that's awesome. That's good to know, because I have a little blue-eyed daughter now, too. I haven't had a blue-eyed daughter. And she's also much more fair than my other two, who are very olive. So
yeah.
That's good to know. That's really
yep.
good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks for your question, Patricia. That's great.
Yeah, great question. Thank you.
Had you been following the Rose Cleanse, I mean, for a while before you noticed this happening? I guess I'm just trying, was it a year or months?
It was probably the first summer. So I started in about August, and then by the next summer, I was still in New York, so I wasn't in Hawaii yet. But by that next summer, the New York summer heat and the summer sun, none of it affected me. So it was,
I'm in New York. I'm about an hour north of the city, so yeah.
Yeah, it was almost a year of being really diligent with it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? What we wanted to do today was open up to live Q&A. All of you who make the effort to be on this call live, we want to make sure that we get to as many of your questions as possible. So if you do have a question that you'd like to ask on any topic right now, go ahead and press 1. And then you can also use the dashboard and enter your question into the participant dashboard if you're not able to ask a question live. And then we will also, if we have time, we'll address some questions from the community as well. And we'll be combing the virtual living room now that the Rose Cleanse is live. So if you have questions that you post in the virtual living room, we will be looking at those for these calls as well. Okay, we have some hands raised. Dee Dee, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hi, Dee Dee.
Okay, hi there. My question is, hydrogen peroxide therapy that you know of, has it been used to treat chronic viral infections?
Yes, that's actually what it's used for, only when it's used intravenously. If you have a chronic viral infection, it's not going to work most likely if you're just taking it orally in water or taking it in your enemas. I mean, that's more for, working on breaking things down in the intestinal tract that are getting rid of viruses in the intestinal tract. But if it's systematic, or systemic, I should say, then you would need to do an IV. And for that, there are a few doctors who do it both on the East and West Coast. I don't know of any in between.
Yeah, I'm in Dallas. I think maybe I've pinpointed a couple, but just yesterday found out that I have some sort of a chronic viral infection, my white blood cells are quite low, like 2.0 or 2,000 or something like that. So, and I've been doing the work for about 14 months quite diligently, Yeah, so I'm a little
That would definitely be my first, that would be the most powerful thing you could do in addition
That's
to everything else you already know to do.
Yeah, okay.
It just can't live, viruses cannot live in the presence of hydrogen peroxide. And when it goes into the blood, just, in that way, it can just kill it off. You might need to do about 10 treatments.
Okay.
And I know that, you can find some integrative doctors who are on your, you're on your plan if you have a good, a good insurance plan. They typically, so you could use that for the initial consultation, but they don't usually let you use, I don't believe insurance covers the actual treatments, which can be about $100 a treatment. Could be more. I know the guy in New York is about $190. But that's also New York, in the New York market. It might be less where you are. But I can't think of anything that would be a better investment in that situation. If it were me,
okay,
that's what I would do.
Okay, it hasn't been quite diagnosed yet, but they just know it is a chronic viral infection because of the markers in the blood.
Well, and the other thing is it's harmless. You can't go wrong with it. It's only beneficial. I think I mentioned in the last call that I did hydrogen peroxide, and I did it, the IV, and I did it after I had my last child, in the first sort of 3 or 4 weeks after giving birth. And, first of all, it was totally safe at that stage, and I was nursing. So, what can be more sensitive than that other than maybe pregnancy? And then also just to know that you're not doing any harm, but you're probably killing off anything that doesn't belong there anyway. So you can only be doing good no matter what. I have to say, check with your doctor and do all that. But you'll be seeing, if you do this, you want to do this with an integrative MD. So that can be your primary care physician. You could make that your primary care physician, and you're certainly doing it all by the book because you're talking to it. You're doing it with the doctor.
Okay. The doctor's care that I'm in, she is not an MD. She's a naturopathic doctor.
But I don't know. Would she administer the IV?
I'm not quite sure. We just kind of found out. So I'll probably find out more. But
if she can't administer the IV, which I don't know if NDs can, she might need a nurse or something, but that would still be, medically approved, I suppose. But she would probably know of an MD that would do it. So just, investigate everything and maybe meet with a few different people if you can. But that's what I would do for sure.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good luck with it. I'm sure you're going to be just fine.
Okay, thanks, Dee Dee. Let's go to Shannon.
Hi. I just have a question about my eyes. When I oftentimes, I can't say every morning, and some mornings definitely seem to be more predominant than others, but my eyes, they don't feel dry, but I can kind of hear them clicking. And I was just curious if that would be an indication of anything that you might know of, because it's probably been going on for over a year. And
is it in one
away.
Eye?
No, it's both eyes. It's just in the morning, maybe for about the first, 10-15 minutes.
Is it just like a faint sound, almost like you're hearing the eyelids click
it's
together?
It's like they're really, really dry. But they don't feel necessarily dry. My eyes don't burn or sting. It's just the clicking. It's like a.
Does it feel like it's more of a structural thing, like with the eyelid and the eye and like the cartilage or does it feel like it's the eyeball?
Yeah, more of the eyelid, I would say. As opposed to feeling anything with my eyeball.
It doesn't point. It doesn't point to anything. It doesn't point to anything specific that I can think of. Only, I would, you can always think about what the body is trying to communicate. That's not necessarily physiological. That might be something to do with, what you may be struggling to see in your life, maybe regarding vision and the eyes. Not to jump too far out of the box with it, but sometimes the things that happen in our bodies are trying to give us some sort of a message. So maybe if you can figure out what that message might be and you heat it, you can see if it goes away. I'll give it some thought. And Amanda, would we be able to get in touch with her if we wanted to?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I wind up, stumbling upon a connection, I certainly will let you know. But at this stage, I can't think of what it could be other than something else that's non-physical.
No, I mean, that's kind of interesting to say that. I feel like if there's anything I've been praying for in my life, it is definitely direction, you know, and feeling like, yeah, that vision of seeing things. So that's kind of interesting. But it's definitely been predominant long enough that it seems like there has to be a reason for it and just wanting to kind of fix it. So, but that was all. Thank you.
Okay. Pleasure.
Thank you, Shannon. All right. Julia. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hi, Julia.
Anyways, I have this funny question probably, but for the last, I would say 6 months or year, I feel like I'm constantly twitching, jerking. When I fall asleep, sometimes I can't sleep for like an hour or two because I'll constantly wake up in a jerk or a twitch. And I'm wondering if I'm just losing my mind or if there's something serious going on. I feel pretty healthy otherwise. I don't know if my hand's going to fly up any minute.
Yeah, you're losing your mind, for sure. I'm teasing.
I could be.
Oh, did you just throw that into the mix? Okay. That definitely changes things. I think it's really interesting you should bring this up because I've never seen so many people twitching as I have recently. I think there's a twitching epidemic. I'm not kidding. I really do, and I think it has to do with the way we're living, the way it's affecting our nervous system, interconnected with the endocrine system and the adrenals, just not being able to keep firing all the time, straight through. And it's one, you know, that the stressors are only being amplified all the time; they're only exponentially growing, and our rest period is exponentially decreasing. So I think, you know, there's, you know, of Bell's palsy, right? This sort of where your the one side of your face and sometimes on your body can literally just freeze and go into a partial temporary or permanent paralysis. And I'm seeing this more and more in people. And this is, it sounds to me like this is not yet Bell's palsy, but it could be going there. And certainly there's nothing you can medically do that's going to fix the cause, the core of the problem, you know. But there are a lot of things that you can and should start doing that we all need to do just as a part of our natural lifestyle. But this is definitely a red flag for you, especially having a full house. You know, you need to be in your center, and you're not operating from your center. It sounds like you're periphery self is dealing with all the things on the outside to make sure that the boat stays afloat. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure you're constantly fixing leaks and trying to keep everything going.
Constantly. I'm just running up and down and around, and sometimes I get to bed and literally I can't even fall asleep. Like, I'm just twitching and twitching and twitching, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? Like, it's not like I drink coffee or, I mean, I do sometimes, but it's not like, I don't know. So I told my husband yesterday, I think that literally I'm falling into a depression because I can't fix myself. And
where
he's
do you
like,
live?
You're fine. And I'm like, I'm not fine. I'm twitching every night. And he's like, well, figure it out. And I feel like lost. Well, how do I figure it out?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I'm so glad that you're calling on this, because I think so many people, if they're not where you are now, they're going to be if they don't really radically transform their lifestyle. And I would, you know, first thing to do is to start operating from your center. You got to just bring yourself back into yourself, because right now it's like there are parts of you that are just spinning all over, like orbiting on their own orbits all over the place. So you've got to bring all those parts back. You've got to you got to be like the Spider Woman operating from the center of the spider web, and everything else you can reach from the center, but you can't have everything out in the periphery and nothing in the center. It just doesn't work. Then you've like you become exploded Spider Woman, and you're splat everywhere. So so we get you back in the center, and you'll do that by consciously getting into your body, into your mind, being super, super present. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And then you think about everything you do in a day, and I would actually write it all down. You know how we do these exercises where we recapitulate our life? Well, I would just recapitulate your day and anticipate what your day is going to be tomorrow. And just go over a few days and think about how much of yourself is going into things that aren't directly connected to the success of your family. And, you know, if, you know, not saying that you do this, but if you're getting your nails done and you're going for coffee and you're constantly, like, on the internet trying to look for things that your next thing that your kid wants or needs, a school project thing, and there's just so many things, write all those things down and figure out what they are. Where is your time going? Where is your attention going? Because then you'll figure out where.
Natalia, my husband yesterday, and I meant it. I really did. I said, I feel like running away. Like, I feel like that's the cure for me. I need to run away. And he literally looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, no, I really do. I feel like I want to run away. Like, it's just too much.
Right, but you know what's funny is that, you know, even if you were to run away, let's go down that road for a second, you would wind up, because you're so wired for this kind of activity, you'd wind up creating that wherever you were to go, because that's become what you do. If you were to run away and spend a few weeks or a month at a retreat just being quiet, then that's one thing. But I really don't think at this stage you could even do that. I think your body's just, your whole system is hotwired right now for all this activity. And the only way for you to heal yourself is going to be to bring it down yourself and to say, you know what, my value, my life is worth way more than spinning my wheels to try and keep everybody else happy. And they're not getting, you know, so, you know, if you're expending yourself to satisfy all these whims that everyone in your life has that wants to pull them from you, are they really even growing as people? Are you even turning them into greater, you know, more divine people? Because they're just getting their immediate needs met, and they're taking your energy, vampiring your energy, and you're letting them. So you're not a victim, but you're letting them do that because that's the role that you've decided to play. And I'm kind of speaking at large, not about you specifically, but this is what's going on in the lives of the people who are having these kinds of events. Whether it's somebody in an office who's lost themselves to their work and to all the things that their work demands of them, and the beast they're feeding, it's just like the yeast monster. There's something that's siphoning off your vital force, your vital energy, and taking it in directions that doesn't really serve you. If it served you, you wouldn't be feeling this. And whatever the scenario is, whoever the, you know, whatever the archetype is that you want to think about, if it's in this scenario, allowing themselves to be siphoned off, participating, colluding with this, you know, this very demanding schedule and lifestyle, they're going through this, and this is the reaction in the body. And the adrenals just get completely tapped out because for a long time they can keep up with it. But then they're like, I can't do this. The fight adrenaline all day long, every day. You know, for most people, the whole endocrine system just starts to fall flat because for a man, you'll have low sex drive. For a woman, you'll have poor thyroid function, infertility. The pineal gland and the pituitary gland, you'll have no insight. Everything will just be kind of, you know, you have no self-direction, not used to. This is all the endocrine system. This is all what the endocrine glands do. And when one falls apart, the rest come down like a house of cards. So anyway, getting back to what needs to be done, to pull yourself back, to pull your time back, and to pull your energy back. And then this is where it gets tricky, because if you're wired to do the kind of knee-jerk reaction like, oh, so-and-so needs this, and I need to be here, then you're just going to do it, and you're going to get pulled back out. Instead, every single thing you do, this is going to get hard, but this is the practice. You have to ask yourself, am I consciously deciding that this is the best use of my time and energy right now? And then you're probably 9 times out of 10 going to realize it's kind of like buying things you don't need. You know, if we really think about the things that we buy every month or whatever time period it is, we can go back and say, you know what, that was junk, that was junk, that was junk. I didn't really need that. You know, when push came to shove, that was a wasted purchase as well. And then you wind up with like 1 out of 10 things that was actually a necessary purchase. Same thing with what you're doing when you're expending, you're this way, you're in this situation, you're spending your energy, you're spending your vitality. So you ask yourself at the end of the week, wow, was that worth it? Did I need to spend my vitality on that? Was that really a good, a good use of my vital bank account, my vitality bank account? And then you start, and your harmony, because if you spend, when we're spending our vitality, and you don't have to, let me just back up on something. When I say spending your vitality, I mean spending your harmony, spending your center, spending that organic, authentic essence of you, because that's yours. Your vital energy is yours, and you can conduct with it. You can sit down with a friend and, you know, be giggling and having fun, and then you're conducting, and nobody's losing because there's this increase when it's shared. But when you're spending it, then it's coming out of you. You're letting it go, and that's what's so dangerous. We want to conduct. We don't want to expend. Okay, even when you do your exercise routines, we don't want to just expend our energy. We don't want to go into a gym and just pump iron and run. That's expenditure. That ages us. That tires us. If we do deep breathing and yoga and rebounding and dance, those things are conducting. They're bringing our whole body into and the universe and the energy. Everything is working together. If you feel revived after your exercise, and that's not the same as getting a runner's high. A runner's high is not being revived, because a few hours later you're going to feel like you need to have a nap. There's a really big difference. So start watching that expenditure and start really valuing yourself and really valuing appreciating that it sounds like a Clairol commercial or L'Oreal. You're worth it. Your self worth and your vital worth is like gold. And if you can build that and you can bring those stores back into yourself, this won't be a problem. You're gonna become so harmonious, and your cells are gonna ring. And in the morning, after a good night's sleep of not being jerking around, your cells are gonna ring with this beautiful vibration. Remember that everything, its most subatomic level is spinning. Our whole universe is spinning. You know, there's a great Peggy Phoenix Dubrow meditation that I love, and it's all about. It's on that spiral suite, the same I remember I am audio compilation. But she says it's amazing that we don't get dizzy from all the spinning. But the fact is, the electrons are spinning, the planets are spinning, our cells, everything is spinning. And as long as we're alkaline and harmonious, though, that spin is beautiful. It's the beautiful vibration. It's what Shakespeare called the music of the spheres. And our bodies should be like a song. That we should just be ringing and singing. When we have this kind of harmony that you're talking about, it means that all those atoms have just gone wonky, and they've gone wonky because they're stressed out. So if you were to have like a super energy, an ability to see the energy body, you would see that it's all gone wonky. Your whole energy body's gone wonky, and this is why all this jerking's happening. And it's because as a culture, we place value on things that actually don't have any value, and we don't place value on things that actually do have value. Being in your center, that's valuable. Having cells that are ringing with vitality, that you can conduct with your family, with your friends, that's valuable. And so I guess it's also going to be a matter of you sort of redefining what you consider valuable, what your programs are, what you're willing to, the kind of worldview that you're wanting to look through, the lens that you want to see the world with, because the lens that you're seeing the world with now is damaging you very, very badly, and it actually upsets me that it's damaging you like this. So, and all these other people I talk about, it is an epidemic. And I'm glad you brought it up, and I encourage you to just take this opportunity right now to say enough. Sit down with your piece of paper and pen, and make all your commitments. They're going to realign you.
That was the most beautiful thing I've heard in years. What did you? Everything you just said just made sense to me. I mean, you didn't tell me that I'm fine. You didn't tell me nothing like that. You told me what I need to do. and it sounded perfect. I love it.
Well, I look forward to hearing. Please let us know in a couple of months how you're feeling.
Okay. One thing, so you don't think it's a lack of a vitamin or something in that area?
If you want to give me a call, maybe later on this week or next week, and tell me more about the details. We didn't get to get into the details of your life. But, I'm sure we can confirm even further that it's not a lack of vitamins.
I just love what I hear. I'm not kidding you. Yesterday I thought I was going to go into depression, and I'm a happy, happy person through the outside, but through the inside I felt like I was going into depression. And this made a big difference in my life, barely. Like, I want to run outside and go breathe.
Good. Good, good. I'd love to hear that. Okay. Excellent.
Thanks.
Okay.
Whew, awesome. That was really, really great conversation right there. And I'm sure so many people are, there's a lot of food for thought in that. And it's really, it just, when you were talking, Natalia, I was also envisioning, I always think of the yin and the yang, or yang, I don't know, I always say yang, but it's probably yang. But, you know, that the yang energy, that just always outward, always doing, always striving, always in action, just that is what our society values. And that, especially for females, will never, ever, ever work, because we can do it for so long, but there is this, it's like, I use this analogy in the Rose Cleanse, but it's like, imagine that the yang energy is the iPhone and the yin energy or the female energy is the charger. You know, so it's always beeping and flashing, and you know the iPhone's always doing stuff, putting messages out, communicating, and you know it's great. But if you just keep going and going and going, and you never charge it in to the battery, the charger, you will run out of battery, and that's just simple fact. And it's this complete imbalance, and then we think it's a lack of this or a lack of that, and so then we're just putting more and more things into us, when really it's an emptying process. Really, it's a quieting process. It's a removing of all of this peripheral, distracting, stimulating stuff that has us on complete overload. And that's where practices like meditation and yoga and breathing and these and taking Epsom salt baths and these things that we, again, it's all people, not just females, but really females, especially those of us who are in careers where we're, entertaining a lot, presenting, talking, that is very male energy. And so for us to be able to maintain any sort of balance, we have to make time that is quiet and peaceful and just completely inward and cocooned. Because, we spin, like you said, just totally spiraling and spinning. Well, the spiraling and spinning can be a good thing, but the way that we're at now, we're just spinning out of control. So
we're off our axis.
We're off our axis, exactly, yeah. So,
I like that analogy of the iPhone. It's like it's like sending out the sign that says 10% of battery remaining.
Exactly. That's what Julia's battery is saying right now. It's like, okay, battery's about to be drained, and you feel that. But yeah, for me, it's just a great visual because I can think, I can see that iPhone and I can see the charger. I was like, well, duh, we have to have both. to have both. So, but it's just so, we're in this society that just totally and completely values the one. I mean, where to people feel like they're lazy and not accomplishing anything if they're not doing something 24/7. It's like, but anyways, awesome. good conversation. Does anyone have anything they wanted to respond to or anything that brings up for them? If you do, go ahead and press 2 right now. Any words for Julia that anyone else might have had? Know that that's always an option on these calls. It's not just, Q&A to us. If anyone else has an answer that they feel would be helpful to share with the group, that is always welcome. And you can press 2 on your keypad if you do. Natalia, do you want to talk about the clothes thing that we brought up a couple calls
ago? Actually it's funny because it makes me think of when you're talking about the battery recharging, another conversation that we had about women recharging their men. Do you want to? I think you should talk about that. I'll start blushing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can talk about it a little bit, but, this is a whole nother a whole nother perspective on sexuality. When really the way that it works is that we as the female are the power source. We are the charger. So it is extremely important that we take that time to cultivate our energy, to protect our energy, and again, we do that in the quiet, not in the activity. And the men in our lives actually physically, on a real tangible level and energetically, they are able to tap into that energy, both through sexuality or through sex, and in our lives. So there's also a theory that when we menstruate, that we are not only releasing blood, but we're also releasing physical toxicity from our body. We also take on the energy of the men in our lives. So we are helping them to release when we release any toxic emotions. So there is this interplay between male and female, yin and yang, masculine and feminine. It's all this interplay of energy, and we truly act as that store of energy that needs to remain whole so that the people in our lives can benefit from that whole energy that they can actually get from us. So,
and isn't it, didn't you mention that the men after lovemaking should actually stay next to the woman
yes.
for quite a long time to receive, because they're being recharged?
Yes, they're physically being recharged in the act of sacred union, I like to call it. And so when, after the orgasm, when the men normally want to leave, that's actually the most important time for them to, because the orgasm does give them a certain amount of energy and they will feel a certain amount of wholeness from that. But if they are to stay close to the female after the orgasm happens, they will actually completely rejuvenate what's called their light body or their etheric body or the body of energy around them. You can call it aura, whatever you want to call it, but it's the energetic body that is around them that they can energize even fully, even more fully, if they stay cocooned with with their partner after sex. So it's not a theoretical thing. These are tangible things that you know, energy is a real thing, and we really do have a lot to offer when we are in a position where it's not a needy, clingy, desperate. This all has to be done in the capacity that the woman feels completely appreciated and loved and respected, and and there's an understanding of the dynamic that's happening between them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's essential. And
yeah.
Right, because in that case, it's not, she's not expending. It's conductivity.
Total conductivity
she's giving
for her
herself,
too.
But right, but he has this appreciation. He's staying there because he knows he's being nurtured by her. He's thanking her for that, and that in turn is coming back hundredfold to her.
Exactly. Well, and that supports her energetic body as well. So it is this
so
beautiful interplay. It's just like the symbiotic relationship between us and plants.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. You know, it's all designed perfectly for us to really, and we've talked about this before, but really to reach God consciousness, to really elevate our consciousness so we can go back to oneness. And we can reach that through a lot of different avenues. And the union between male and female is one very, very powerful and direct way to access higher levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And this leads us right to the clothing thing, which is basically that I was talking to Amanda the other day about maybe it's a month ago now, just about how I was so uncomfortable in pants and how I just basically don't wear pants anymore. And I like, you know, to wear skirts, dresses, and particularly long dresses. And, you know, sometimes it's not fitting for the city because, you know, you've got the grimy city streets and you almost need to wear combat suit to go out and with, you know, fatigues, you know, you think of pants and everything and not a flowy dress. But that just, what you want to have on your body is what I want to have on my body now and how sensitive I am to not wanting certain materials and certain cuts and restrictive clothes on my body. And Amanda mentioned that there's some higher truth in that. And Amanda, why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Yeah, well,
if you will.
Yeah, sure. It basically, in terms of the wanting to wear skirts and dresses and things that are not obstructing, essentially, our yoni area.
I think you might need to define the yoni for our fine friends here.
And I'm going to explain why I use that word and not the word vagina. So yoni, I have come to learn, means source of creation, which is beautiful and is exactly what that is. Vagina, on the other hand, the true root of that word means sheath for the sword, meaning really it's just this organ that's there for the sword to go into, which all of you can use your imaginations to know exactly what that means. So for me, the word yoni is just so far more, it has just such a better vibration and makes me feel much better. I was using it before I knew what it meant, and then when I found out the definitions, I was like, oh, no wonder that one feels good and the other one doesn't feel good. But our root chakra is there, and when we and this is for men too. I mean, this is why, like for example, the Hawaiian men wear called a lava-lava, or it's essentially a sarong, and that's what they would wear. But when we keep that area unobstructed, it can actually conduct with Mother Earth, and we are actually more grounded and more capable to take in the energy from the Earth and conduct energy with the Earth. So a lot of people will purposefully wear a long skirts, long dresses without underwear, so that there's a connectivity there. And that's what Natalia intuitively was tapping into or sensing when she was feeling uncomfortable wearing pants. It's just there is that free-flowing obstruction. That's also true of wearing the real tight, constricting clothes. Our energy and our chakras are not as able to freely conduct. So there is a reason why we are naturally drawn towards wearing certain things and certain fabrics. And intuitively, I think we know where our energy is best conducting, and that's why we have these little things that we prefer, and we should probably listen to them. I love the concept of the outfit that you always dream of wearing, and I think maybe we should have someone design them. We could start a new trend.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think, and the irony too is that a lot of people get into cleansing because they want to fit into their tight jeans and certain things. And when you go deep enough, you wind up with these, drapey, comfy fabrics or clothes.
Yeah.
But anyway, something to think about, and it all links in. I think everything we spoke about, which has brought us full circle.
Yeah.
But thanks. And man, I just think it's really cool. I love all the things you're discovering in Hawaii, and I know it's going to only continue and enlighten us further.
Yeah, it's really funny when my husband will sometimes wear those. I mean, they actually kind of look cool. I mean, they have them in these like really masculine prints, and I've seen these like amazing, huge, buffed Hawaiian men wearing essentially these sarongs, and it's kind of hot.
Do they make you want to recharge your man?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I think we should start some new trends.
Yeah, well, the Scottish men with their kilts. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing.
Not cool. A dress, it's a kilt.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if anyone else has any questions we can answer live, Natalia, we have 4 minutes, and I could ask you one question from the community if you want. Or we can wrap up. What are you feeling?
I'm happy if there's somebody who remains who'd like to have their question answered. Can take one more.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'll just ask. I think this one will be a pretty easy one about speculums.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, why are stainless steel speculums better than the disposable plastic ones?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's really just a matter of how the just bear with me 1 second. All right. It's a matter of how the anus meets with the plastic, and it's just not as friendly to it as the stainless steel speculum is. And you don't want there to be you just want it to be seamless. And with the plastic, it's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't want to cook your food in plastic. You'd rather use stainless steel. For a lot of reasons, it just isn't as harmonious a connection.
Okay.
So I think it also stresses the rectum as well. Yes, it's one of those things just doesn't do well over time. If you're going to use it occasionally, that's not so bad. You know, if you're going to, maybe like 10, 15 times a year. But if you're going to make it a regular thing, and maybe, if, you know, for some people, they're only going to have 10, 15 colonics in a year. So in that case, you know, maybe that's okay for them. But, you know, so you maybe don't want to invest in it if you don't have to, you know, if you're not going to do it that often. But I would say if you're going to make this a regular thing, get invested in the stainless steel speculum, for sure.
Yeah, and I have to say, just from personal experience, that the plastic one, I would have to get up and sit more. It seemed to get stuck more for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason. So the metal speculum, I just have never had that much of never had that issue with, and it was specific to the plastic one. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if there's any more real quick ones. Well, actually, I would love to just ask, you know, before we get off the phone, if anyone is reading any inspirational books, has had anything particularly exciting or inspirational happen to them lately. We normally do that at the beginning of the call, but if anyone has any books, music, songs, movies, quotes, anything that they think would be inspiring for the group, would like to welcome that as a share. And go ahead and press 1 if you do. All right. Natalia, are you reading anything good?
I am, actually. I have a share. I have Dr. Stephen Chang. He is a Taoist know-it-all. and he has a set of books. I'm really enjoying them now. This one is called The Complete System of Self-Healing.
Hmm.
But the one I'm enjoying that very much is about internal exercises versus external exercises, meaning things that tonify the organs and help the blood and all these. You know, it's interesting because the ancient Taoist internal exercises, I think, are very harmonious with everything that we do, from body brushing to rebounding. And I think that we're activating the same kind of internal exercises that they've been doing, anciently. And then the Tao of Sexology, which is another book he wrote, which just, seeing as we were discussing sexology, and it takes all even more deeply than, you know, what we discussed, which, you know, sometimes people, you know, need to bite a little bit off and chew a little bit off before they think about some really wild ideas, like, some things that men can do to prevent pregnancy while having orgasm and all these things. It's a lot of ancient techniques that I suppose you'll just have to read about and
awesome.
See what you think. I think it's pretty awesome, though. A lot of the Shaolin monk thing theories that I've been reading for years, but enjoying his take on it all. So
awesome.
Stephen Chang. Yeah.
Stephen Chang. Very good. Okay,
and
everybody.
Amanda, are you?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm reading a book called The Source of Miracles by, I'm not remembering her name, Susan something. It's really interesting because I am participating in this full moon ceremony for all the 13 moons of 2012, and it's actually a labyrinth walk, and this book talks about the labyrinth and how it's been used basically since the days of Jesus, which it's actually been used for far, far, far longer than that, both as an oracle. So individuals can go in and use a labyrinth as an oracle. So you go in with a question and mm-hmm. you'll get your question answered. But also in group ceremonies like we're using now for the full moon ceremony that I do. But it's also, this book, it's an interesting, it's not quite obvious how this comes together, but it's also using the Lord's Prayer as the end-all, be-all prayer that Jesus left us that really answers all questions. And mm-hmm. So it's sort of, first of all, reframing the Lord's Prayer and helping you understand what the words actually really mean, and then how if you take it apart and then use it really, really consciously, how it can create miracles in your life. And mm-hmm. it's a really interesting concept. I'm enjoying it. It's not my favorite book of all time, but it's enjoyable, and I'm getting some good nuggets of wisdom from it.
Yeah, it's when it all comes together, and you start to glean. You can find the clearer you get, the more you're able to identify the standout truths in lots of different things. You can just kind of mm-hmm. pull out exactly what you know resonates with the bigger picture that you've learned.
Exactly.
But that's cool. The Omron Mikhail Ivanhoff also does an amazing analysis of the Lord's Prayer that. Mm-hmm. I love. So maybe we can talk about that at some point.
It's giving me a new appreciation for the prayer that I was taught to do rotely and never really mm-hmm. thought much about. So mm-hmm. from that sense, it's really kind of cool. So yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much. We covered a lot of a full spectrum of topics today, and hopefully you all found it helpful. And we will really look forward to connecting with you in the virtual living room, on the community discussion board, and then again in 2 weeks. So enjoy the heat, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone. Okay. Lots of love.